Today, I'm speaking with Kelly Lynch Feldkamp. She is a business owner, and she does great work helping people be safe and well on the job. If you are interested in employee wellness, safety, if you have people in your family or you yourself have soft tissue injuries like carpal tunnel or tendonitis, if you just want to be inspired towards more self-care and more movement and get some tips on better posture and care, you want to listen to this episode. You're going to be inspired by Kelly as a businesswoman and by her passion for wellness. I can't wait to share it with you. Michael, hit it.
Welcome to the Wake Up Eager Workforce Podcast, a show designed for leaders, trainers, and consultants who are responsible for employee selection and professional development. Each episode is packed full with insider tips, best practices, expert interviews, and inspiration. Please welcome the host who is helping leaders, trainers, and consultants everywhere, Susie Price.
Hi, my name is Susie Price, and you're listening to the Wake Up Eager Workforce Podcast, where we cover everything related to helping senior leaders and internal and external consultants create a high commitment, low drama, wake up eager workforce. Bottom line, we help leaders and organizations make good decisions about their people. In this podcast and in the work we do every day, we provide tools and tips and expert interviews to help every part of the employee lifecycle. So we help you do a better job at hiring. And then once you hire them, how do you get them on board in a way that they stay committed and want to be there? Then team building, leadership development, and more. And so I'm excited about this episode because we're talking about, you know, we are the Wake Up Eager Workforce Podcast, and you can't wake up eager if you're in a lot of physical pain. It's hard to do your job. It's hard to bring your best self, whether your job is very physical or just a little physical. We all are our own version of a job site athlete. And so this is episode number 11, and the official title for today's episode is Employee Wellness and Safety, Helping Everyone Be Their Version of a Job Site Athlete. The tracker link should be easy to remember because that's a new term that I had not heard before, job site athlete. So to get the show notes, to get contact information for our speaker and more, and get links to the things we talk about, go to pricelessprofessional.com/job site athlete. Here's what we cover today. We talk about how wellness programs impact company culture, how soft tissue injuries impact your bottom line, how everybody can be and is a job site athlete, understanding the impact of posture and movement, and there's some top posture tips for feeling better. And I'm telling you, one of her tips has really helped me. I tend to lean forward a bit, and so I'm really focused on standing up straighter. So anyways, great tips around things like that, and just interesting to see how she handles and manages life as an entrepreneur, handles business expansion, and balancing family life. Let me tell you a little bit about our speaker. Her name again is Kelly Lynch Feldkamp. As F-E-L-D Camp, K-A-M-P. She's the founder of Provention Plus. It's an on-site injury prevention company. They're changing the way companies take care of their manual labor or craft employees. She has a master's degree in exercise and wellness, and she's the creator of the Move Better program used by thousands of job site athletes over the last 20 years. She has a passion, and you're going to hear that in our discussion today. She's a thoroughly enjoyable person. I really liked meeting her. She has a passion for helping job site athletes reduce discomfort that many believe is an unfortunate but necessary part of the profession. And so you are going to have a different perspective on job site injuries, soft tissue injuries, and learn more about your posture. Let's go to that episode now. Kelly, it's so nice to meet you in person. Thank you for being here.
It's so nice to meet you, Susie. Thank you as well. I'm so excited.
That's great. Let's start out with company culture and talk about the work that you and your team do around culture and safety and wellness. How does it impact culture?
Well, I think that it's fair to say that depending on what industry you're in, and I'm specifically in the industrial setting, so places where there's manual labor, the culture is set by, as in any company, like generally the higher ups. And when those people make decisions to have my company, my team, Provention Plus, come in, generally speaking, there's a little bit more thought towards taking care of their employees, their team members. And so I would say that we, coming from Provention, we're a wellness focused company. We're focused on preventing injuries, and we are really trying to make our way into all industries and all companies and trying to shift the way people are thinking about their employees and their bodies and the way we move. Not every company is there yet. And my goal in life right now is to start to shift that culture a little bit more to help us move towards thinking about the body and movement and how that plays into how efficient and effective people are at work, in addition to how they feel and how they can support their families as well as support their teams at work in a better and more, again, efficient and feeling good kind of way.
So most companies that employ you or say, hey, Provention Plus, come over here, are already demonstrated in their culture, hey, we care about the well-being of our employees. Does it up the game a little bit when you show up? I mean, and what kind of things do you see in regard to affiliation with the company, with the culture? I mean, what impact do you see?
There is, yes. It changes the game a little bit when Provention comes, because when a company's interested in it, they may be doing a ton of things for their employees. I don't know, maybe it's an apprenticeship program. Maybe it's a program where they're showing people how to get themselves moving through the ranks a little bit, an opportunity there. That's wonderful. And we want to have them continue doing that. We bring a little bit slightly different idea towards the table when it comes to taking care of oneself from the physical standpoint. What we find is that once we get people thinking about their bodies a little bit and how they're moving to prevent injuries, it gives them an opportunity to kind of take into consideration other aspects of their world, whether that be from maybe a general health perspective, like what their diet is, how they're eating. Maybe it's also from a mental health perspective in that we give them opportunity for individual employees to have conversations with somebody that is not maybe their direct supervisor or maybe not just their buddy. It's someone else who can bring a different perspective to their world and make them think about something different. So what I find is that though the company is already on that track of thinking well for their employees, this changes it a little bit in that it changes the direction of that thought. And I think as a whole society, we've really stepped away from our actual movement. The way I kind of think about it is we've got exercisers and we've got non-exercisers. And kind of that's where we draw the line, almost societally. And what I wish we could do is say, hey, we were meant to move. So let's figure out a way to move more in our lives. So if I can create that in the industrial setting, maybe it's not necessarily move just for movement's sake for them, because they're already moving a lot, but it's appropriate movement. But more for the culture in general, we're like, let's figure out how to make people understand that movement is important.
Ah, the difference that it makes. And I would imagine, so you and your team are working one-on-one with people, right?
Yes. We get the opportunity to do group work, meaning like a group warm-up. So if you're out on any construction site or in any logistics center, you'll often see something they usually call a stretch and flex. It's been around 20 years or so. And the funny thing about it is it really hasn't shifted or changed much. When I started doing it 20 years ago, I remember very, very, very much holding, you do a stretch and you hold it for 10 or 8 seconds, and then you do the next stretch. It was just a static stretch. And it wasn't warming up the body. I didn't find it to be preparing the body very well for work, but this was the standard. This is what was said. Research said, this is going to be good for the body. Well, what we found over time is actually dynamic movement or dynamic stretches and movement around an appropriate joint that's going to be used during the day is what's actually going to help a person avoid injury, feel better while they're working. And so what we try to do, Provention comes in and we're reinvigorating the stretch and flex. We're actually calling it simply a group warm-up. Okay. So we're actually preparing that body for the movement that it's going to do. So we have a cool, awesome group interaction in the beginning of the morning, in the beginning of the day, and then hopefully after lunch as well. And then throughout the day, we get to have one-on-one sessions with people. And in those sessions, we do a whole lot more individual focused work. So we get both almost like, how can we reach as many people as possible with our group? And then we get that one-on-one time with people where we can have specific hands-on and exercises geared toward that exact person with that exact like previous injury list, as well as I drive 2 hours to work in the morning, all those things kind of compiled together.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So somebody will hire you because maybe somebody's had an injury, or maybe their injuries are up, or they're just devoted to employee wellness. But is it usually often there's been an injury?
What I find happens is there's not necessarily like, we just had an injury, let's get prevention in there. What I normally find happening is, hey, look at these numbers over the last year. This is not trending in the correct direction. We need to do something. And because the injuries we're trying to affect they're called soft tissue injuries. They're injuries that are oftentimes quite preventable if the right things are done. And so it's after these companies have seen a rise in their injuries, or they're not liking the trend that they're seeing, then they're probably like, hey, we've been doing a lot of things for our employees, but we're missing something here. Let's see if we can get prevention in here and bring these numbers back to where we want them to be. Because preventing an injury, I mean, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Like we all have all these things. We know these things. It's just that what companies don't really recognize is that there are ways of preventing them. That's the thing, is they just think, oh, it's a part of the job. 33% of all our injuries are always going to be soft tissue injuries. Well, maybe they don't have to be. Maybe we can make a shift in that and change how that happens in an industrial setting.
So soft tissue injury is your neck and shoulder hurt, your lower back hurts. Is that what that is?
I can, give you an example. Basically, soft tissue injuries are injuries that are happening to anything that's like muscle, ligament, tendon. It's when you have the low back pain. It's when you have carpal tunnel syndrome. It's when you have tendinitis. These terms that get thrown around a lot, that it's like golfer's elbow, tennis elbow, all those things that happen. And they're super costly. Just the direct cost on average for one of those injuries is going to be about $34,000. Then you take into account, and this is important for any business leaders out there, you take into account the indirect costs, and you're looking at almost doubling that. So for one injury, you're looking at almost like $60,000. And that's, again, average. So that's not the worst one. It's not the best one either, but it's not the worst one. That's a super important focus for our business leaders and our company, the head of companies. The part that really gets me, like my passion, is around the individual that's actually been hurt. Because now we're talking about, sometimes you can get injured and be right back to it 2 weeks later, no problem. Other times, now someone's going to be dealing with this for the next 20 years of their life. Like you quote unquote, throw out your back, you've got an injury. Now we have to build yourself back up from that. You don't know how to. You did therapy for a few sessions. That's all you had time for with your insurance and time. And you went right back to work. And now, you know, again, 20 years later, you're still dealing with that. And think about all the compensations that occur in your body and how you set yourself up for other injuries. So that's how I wanted to say, like, I guess my point is I want to show that there's a way of like getting in front of these things. And when you've missed that opportunity, there's also a way to build back from them, but you have to know how. And all of us, we are experts in our own world. So I don't expect someone who's a foreman on a job site to know how to help his back from being hurt. That's an impossibility, not an impossibility. It's
not easy.
Yeah, not easy. So that's where I want to come in and I want to help with that so that he goes home at night. He feels better. He can play with his kids. He can participate in the activities outside of work, that sort of thing. And again, makes him more happier at work and more efficient at work.
So you mentioned that you started this 20 years ago. And one of the things is a little different is how you do your warm-ups. What are some other things that are different from years ago? And then also, you know, in the culture and in companies, what's different? What's changed the most? What's happening now?
I think the thing that has changed the most would be just the general acceptance of what's happening. Because I'll say this, all the people on the team that work with me, they're either going to be athletic trainers, massage therapists, basically individuals who have the ability to do exercise movement practice, as well as touch and manual therapy. So 20 years ago, I had my treatment table. So think massage table, right? I have my treatment table and I have like a little like semi-private space. I'm doing work with people. So there's a little bit of manual therapy. I'm like doing some compression work on someone's back and then I'm giving them an exercise they couldn't even believe what was happening. Like, what are you doing here? Why are you doing it? How is this acceptable? Like, it was just this mind-blown situation.
A Martian has landed in our business.
Yes. 100%. And I just got so much. I remember it so distinctly, having different interactions with individuals who are like, what's going on here? I can't believe, you know, this is happening. And so what I would say is I get way less of that now. Still, there's the occasional person who might come up, like a subcontractor that I'm not directly working with, that's like, what's going on? What is this? And when I just get an opportunity to explain it, and it's a little less a little less can't believe it's happening, because people are understanding more that this sort of thing is makes sense. How I try to explain it is, yes, the message gets a little bit confused when I say massage therapist and I say we use massage techniques, because there's this immediate luxury idea, right? This is immediate, like, oh, well, you can't have guys go in off the job and go get a massage. They're going to just listen to soft music and like go to sleep and get a massage. Like, no, I mean, not that there would be anything wrong with that. That would be like probably great for them on a sense of like recovery and keeping and getting them relaxed. But the reality is what we're trying to do is be super clinical and very focused on, again, looking for those compensations, those weaknesses, the areas that are not functioning the way we want them to, the movement that doesn't look quite right, the alignment that isn't going to be productive in the way that they're going to move the rest of the day or the rest of their career. And so because of that, it's almost a situation where you have to see it and participate in it to fully understand what's happening. But again, the difference between 20 years ago and now is there's a little bit more acceptance to it. And I think just me being doing it for 20 years, I would say I was comfortable then, but I would say now, bring anyone to me with any sort of comment, any sort of like disbelief. And I'm like, I could tell you inside and out, backwards and forwards, exactly what you need to know. Right.
So the clinical part of it, more acceptance and just helping people understand this is clinical and this is helping your business bottom line, because this one soft tissue injury is going to mushroom into other things or continue on if not treated. And the treatment isn't just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing too, as well. And it's probably multifaceted. I would think there's kind of the, like you said, the manual stuff, but I know for myself, because I'm really big into health and fitness, is the nutrition impacts inflammation, you know, all the other things, drinking and smoking and, you know, just not sleeping, you know, so you're probably looking at the whole person. I imagine you couldn't help but get involved in the whole person.
Exactly. Our main focus, obviously, as I've said so much here, I think you gather, is movement and the way a person moves, moving properly. That's definitely part of it. But if we think about these individuals, and I think we'll get into this later, so I don't mean to jump the gun a little bit, but if we think about these individuals as more like athletes, right? So the job site or the industrial athlete, they're getting paid based on their output, their physical output. And for our professional athletes out there, they have teams of people that make sure that they're functioning very, very, very well, top tier, as best they can in all of the realms. What our industrial and job site athletes don't understand or don't maybe think is important is that the inputs, they factor in so much on your output. So again, like you just mentioned, it's are they eating well? Are they drinking a lot of beer at night? Are they not getting any sleep? Is there any sort of, you know, what are the positive inputs? Are they getting any recovery? Or are they just 6 days a week of work? And then one day where they pick up another job because that's their world, or are they up all night because they have a baby? Like, there's just so many different things that occur in a person's life that we like really try to take into account. Because if you come in to see me and you have type 2 diabetes, you're 40 pounds overweight, you're moving all day long because of your job and your body hurts. If I just said, we need to do a 100% complete overhaul on your diet, everything that you're doing, and I just laid off all these things, that you're going to look at me and you're going to say, hey, thanks for the input. I got to go. See you later. And instead, maybe I could say, let's talk about what you're doing. And maybe there's a couple different changes that you can make that are going to make the biggest bang for your buck difference for that person. So we always want to meet those individuals where they are, whatever it is. Maybe you come in and it's today you're going to do our sessions, but you're going to be doing a breathing technique because I want you to learn how to calm down for sleep at nighttime. So we're going to practice that. That's going to be your homework, as opposed to maybe doing a bridge exercise or doing a different kind of like exercise like that.
Okay. So you just figure out what they've told you. You probably don't have a lot of time with them.
But 15 minutes sounds crazy.
Oh, yeah. So 15 minutes. Wow.
It sounds crazy, but what happens is the whole goal is, how can we create a relationship with this individual and see them on a more regular basis? So the idea with any company that we work with is we're set up to be with the company once a week. So in that time that we're there, we hope to see everybody basically once a week. Maybe it's every 2 weeks, maybe it's once a quarter, depending on the individual.
On it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Completely voluntary situation. And it's also not because, oh gosh, John, you need to go into prevention. You have to, because you had an injury before. Or it's just like, hey, I want to go. things feel great. When people say, oh, I don't need to come, I feel great. I'm like, awesome, let's go. Because this is a time when we can maybe find those inconsistencies in your movement and again, avoid that problem. So I want anyone that's 60 years old and has tons of pain to 25 years old and has no pain. I want all of them.
Yeah. And when you say, when you're talking about their movement, sometimes you'll watch if they're in a manufacturing line or they're a superintendent, you're going to watch how they walk or you're going to watch how they pick up whatever they're doing or how they're standing. And that's the guidance kind of thing. So, when you say inconsistency in movement,
that's exactly right. Compensations. I guess a better word would even be compensations. Yeah. Because you don't think about it. You just do it. Whatever is going to feel best in your body. Our bodies are so amazing and they're very efficient machines, if you will. They will do the job that needs to be done, no matter how it has to get done. And so that just generally leads to one side being stronger than the other, or, certain things that you tend to lean one way or do something. And so if we can start to balance that out a little bit, we find that there's going to be less injury because you're ready right. for those random movements that happen to come in a different way, a little lower than you're used to being, or a little higher, or a little bit more to one side or the other. Yeah.
Well, and it's the spark. I mean, to me, I see you as being the spark. If somebody's lost touch with their body a bit, and that may sound weird, but I think it happens all the time when people get busy and, and then now it's like, okay, every once a week I see these lovely people and they're reminding me of that. And over time, 15 minutes a day and in 70 days, you're twice improved. So a little bit of effort works. And the other thing I'm thinking about is the attention. I mentioned to you that my oldest nephew is a superintendent with a large commercial construction company. And at one point I had him meeting with my fitness coach because he wasn't feeling well. And he had said, I said, would you like that for your birthday present? Yeah. And he was like, yes. And so he lost weight. And I think all of it he could have done on his own, but it was so busy. And I think the attention, of somebody focusing on him for a period of time, once a week, and then she would check on with him, and text him and those types of things. I just felt I could see his energy up physically. He was feeling better. He stayed on track with what he needed to do. And, I think a lot of times, and I think about what I do when I go in and meet with companies or meet with employees, it's the attention. It's the somebody's tuning into me. And Gallup has said it in multiple ways, that the Gallup organization that analyzes engagement and commitment and enthusiasm about the work is, does somebody care about me at work? And that's yes. our greatest need. We want to feel like we're cared for and that, we belong somewhere. And to me, you're a piece of that puzzle.
This just to know, and I've said this also, like we keep pretty, the way we keep our records and we want to make sure we're showing tangible results. So right. we're following people with their movement and we're doing movement screens and then we get follow-ups. Basically quarterly is how we try to kind of get back at the company and let them right. know what's happening. And I've always said that like I fully 100% know what we're doing is very effective at reducing injury. But I have always had this question. I wondered if I went in and no matter what, people came in and the only thing I ever did with them was I put my hands on their traps, on their shoulders, gave them a quick like shoulder rub and talked to them for 15 minutes and then said, see you later. And then the next time I saw them, did the same thing, but said, how are your kids? Blah, blah, blah. Like just had conversation. I'm not saying it would be just as good. I am saying there would be an improvement.
There's certainly. Benefit. Yeah,
there's 100% benefit because you now know that your company cares enough to have someone here with you right now to talk to you. Not that it's just the talking, but it's that compassion towards an individual. Yeah, it's huge.
Yes, powerful. I mean, so even though I think you're doing exactly what you need to do, which is focus on the mechanics and focus on, but in the midst of doing that, you're working with a human. And I like same thing with us when we're always looking at what are you trying to achieve? What's the goal? Let's make. But meanwhile, you're with that person and you're tuning into them and who they are as a human. And, we always want leaders to do as much as that as possible, too. So it's very important. It's actually most important. We've got to do the other things, too. But it's the greater advantage.
If you lose that, you lose your employees or at least most of them. Most of the people that work with you are going to be kind of turned off by that.
Yeah. Feeling like an object and not feeling, and it's hard to tune in all the time when everybody, when leaders are being pulled in so many directions. So you're a piece of that puzzle, which I really like. And so you're preventing safety training incidents, I assume. You're improving their numbers. You see that on a regular basis.
Exactly. Yes. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. That is what we're seeing.
Employees need to feel safe.
100%. They do. If they feel like they're, well, look, if they know of a company, they're looking to get hired and you hear of a company that just has ridiculous numbers of injuries, most are going to say no, unless in dire circumstances. But most are going to say, I'm not interested in getting involved in this situation. Look how many injuries they have. Look how many people have gotten hurt. So safety is a huge factor.
Yeah. And if you could change anything about how companies think about safety and think about caring for their teams and these job site athletes, what would it be?
I would like to have them know that they can do something about this, that there is a prevention aspect of the injuries, the soft tissue injuries that they're having, because I think that information is missing. I think that information is very missing. I would also say, kind of along what we were just talking about, is if companies, all industrial companies that use the sign that's up in front of their building that says we have had zero injuries in the last 572 days. Well, I would argue and offer this advice. Please stop doing that, because all you're doing is really stopping somebody who is hurting from doing something about it. And what ends up happening,
I don't want to mess up the record. I'm not going to tell them that my neck hurts.
Exactly right. And so what happens with that individual likely is somewhere down the road, it gets even worse. And then there's a bigger problem that you have to pay a lot more money for. And then you're dealing with a very unhappy individual as well. They don't feel good. And I can guarantee you, and I'm not trying to say I want people's recordables to go up. I don't want that. But if one person does come forward, it's likely that like five or six other people are, there's something else going on there. And it doesn't have to be recordable. This is something that maybe could be dealt with. Again, just a sore neck isn't the problem. But if we don't address it, and we all wake up sometimes with this, like we slept weird and we have a sore neck. Well, just think about it. If that didn't go away in a day or two, if that was with you for 15 years, gosh, everything else becomes a little bit more of a irritant. The driver who cut you off, the, when you get home and the kids are crying, like when you get home and your dog pooped on the rug, like all of those things become such a greater stress.
Yeah.
Because all you can think about is like, oh, I can't get my neck to stop bothering me. So if we can address these before they become an issue, that's kind of the thing that I'd really like to share with those individuals.
Yeah. I think that the recording of safety, no safety incidents is like common practice. I mean, I think it happens everywhere, right? I think about my husband's company. I think they do that. I don't know, but
It's pretty broad. There's a lot of companies that are doing it. I think that the conversation has started now with that maybe less are doing it. But again, like what does your zero injuries mean when your whole team is not whole team, but a chunk of your team is suffering and not going to say anything because they don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah. And then I like the term, and you just talked about it. And so I don't know if there's anything else you want to say about it, but job site athlete, the minute I saw that, I'm like, oh, that is great, because it's affirmative. And it's such a great point that, and in fact, even if you don't work in an industrial organization, you bring yourself to work. Mm-hmm. You know, you are a job site athlete as well, even though like I'm on virtual calls a lot of my time and at my computer. But if I feel terrible at my desk, what's the quality of my work?
That's exactly right. We find that, so the industrial athlete is somebody who is out in the field, the job site, the warehouse, the trucker, truck driver. But look, all of those are not necessarily all moving all of the time. And then we've got the people that are sitting behind the desks and doing that work. Those situations are not the same, but yet if you're not addressing the issues that the body is feeling, you aren't going to get the best work from an individual. But what I heard the term industrial athlete 20 years ago, and it hit me. I was like, absolutely, like, duh. And all we have done with that term, I've noticed over the last 20 years, especially safety individuals, is I feel like we make ourselves feel really good about ourselves. We're like, ah, yeah, they're the athletes. They're our athletes. But we don't do anything about it. We don't even really express it to them. And if we could start to have individuals that are out there doing this, the building our world and making our world move, if we started to ask them to really think about themselves as an athlete, don't you think it would change a little bit, at least, about the way that they looked at what they were doing for themselves? I feel like it's a better environment to know, hey, guys, you know what? I am getting paid for physical movement. I mean, yes, I'm not getting paid like a professional athlete, but I am. That is like my thing. So if I can take better care of myself, I'm going to feel better doing it physically. And I'm also going to probably be a little bit more efficient And again, taking some initiative, taking some personal responsibility for recovery. Maybe I am going to get a little more sleep tonight, even though I could stay up and watch this show, but it's probably going to be better for me if I sleep more, you know, that kind of thing. Just a little bit of thought towards, hey, I got to perform tomorrow. So let me do it the best way I can if I think about myself that way.
I like it. I think that is, everybody should think about that. I've got to perform tomorrow. So what actions am I going to take today that are positively going to impact that? And it'll be a little bit different, but it's still, I mean, I know a lot of consultants who aren't taking care of themselves, and it happens because you're bogged down and you're, you know, so, and then you see the same thing in the world of construction. I'm very familiar with that. A lot of people aren't taking care of themselves. They're not preparing for the next day. And so if they just use the term and talked about it inside the company, that can make a difference. You're talking about it when you're there, but the company culture, that would be a great, great addition.
A good shift towards, again, showing that they care about the team members. It makes a huge difference from that perspective too. And I think most of these folks have never thought about it that way. So that's, you're opening up their eyes to an opportunity that could really change some of their behaviors. Not everyone's, obviously, but you know, even a couple at a time is amazing.
Yeah. And then they'll inspire others, you know? So, but it is that idea of promoting well-being, you know, I can remember my first job out of college was as a human resource person for NCR Corporation. And we had 1,200 employees, and we had a wellness center, and that was all new. And we had a nurse. And of course, you know, I was hanging out there because that's always been my interest, you know.
Yes.
We're always like trying how to help everybody, you know, what's the aerobic classes, what's,
yes,
you know, at the time, that's what we did, taught some of those classes. But it was all about, you know, the manufacturing facility. How can we help them feel better in their body? And of course, we were the top division. I mean, that was way long time ago, but top division, you know, in the whole country because of our care for our people. And that was leading edge,
yes,
more than years ago. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, what's funny is what you just kind of described to me is like fitness, or at least like that, it's been interesting to you forever, right?
Yeah.
There's people intermixed in every company like that. And I like to look at those individuals as my champions, as the people that are going to help continue to spread like the ideas that Provention is bringing forth, even if we're not on site that day or if we're not there. I would love for more HR groups and or safety groups to start to suggest that those individuals be a little bit not louder, but like, you know, talk a little bit more about what they love. Like you can make shifts in other people's thoughts about things if it's like, if it's done in a nice way, but like more of like that accountability that, hey, here's an idea. Hey, you know, we're all here, you know, we always order from this place every day. It's probably not the best for us. What about this? You know, or how about we take a walk for our meeting today instead of sit, you know, in the conference room, you know, just little stuff like that. You like, I really try to grab onto those individuals that I know are interested in human movement and health and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's so smart. I mean, that's the way you get any initiative going, and you're never going to hit everybody, but the anybody you impact makes a difference. So, you know, that's awesome. I think that's great. And tell a little bit about, for everybody, what are some of the key tips there? Everybody listening, we're going to say you are a job site athlete and you have to perform tomorrow. So what are some of the, you could think of the top things that you would say to people, and you could do it in different industries or you could, you know, but what would you say? What are some tips?
Sure. So I would start with this. Look at what you do all day. Are you someone who's moving all day or are you someone who's sedentary most of the day? So let's take those two groups. If you're sedentary most of the day, your goal is to move more. Be intentional about it. That means park farther away. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Walk around. When you go get your cup of coffee, you walk a loop around the office first. Or again, walk up and down the stairs really quickly in between. It brings blood flow to your brain anyway. It, like from your body to your brain again, it just gets you going again. So that's big thing. Sedentary, add movement. And with the person who's moving all the time, what I'd argue or is the most important, a lot of it's going to be recovery. So really be thoughtful about recovery. Can you create an opportunity in the evenings for rest and true rest, not staring at your telephone, you know, your phone, not staring at the TV, not sitting in a bad position on the couch? get onto the ground, do a little bit of stretching, do a little bit of movement, and or go to sleep an hour earlier. Don't use your screens. Try to avoid caffeine late. Try to avoid a lot of light in your room, those sort of things. Give yourself that moment for recovery. The next thing I would say is, and this goes for both, what you want to try to do in your day is opposite and easy movements of what you have to do all day. So if you're sitting at your desk all day long and you're hunched over forward, I want you to stand up occasionally, put your hands right at your low back and kind of push your hips forward a little bit. It's created a little bit of a back extension, right? So you stand or sit, I don't care how you do it, but standing is better because you're doing the opposite motion and you're doing it easily. Don't force yourself into pain ever. It's always about feeling good. Think about your cats and your dogs. Cats and dogs stretch constantly. They don't do it because it hurts. They do it because it feels good. Think about yourself a little bit more like an animal in that way, right? For the person who's super active, and one of the things I would like to have them do is, again, think, are they doing something? Are they carrying a ton of things and they always carry on the right side? Well, take a lighter load and carry on the left side, right? Or do the movement they were doing to the right, to the left without weight, without stress. Just try to get your body used to doing that. I don't want you to go, I'm carrying 50 pounds on my right shoulder all day long, you know, throughout the day. I'm just going to go and put 50 pounds on my left. No, do 10 pounds, do something a little bit less. So easy and opposite. Think about that. And then the final thing I would say, it is very interesting right now, and this may not be interesting to anyone else here, but there is this push from a lot of individuals to say that posture doesn't matter. That posture doesn't create problems in the body. And because what they're trying to get at is that movement can improve all of these things. Okay, cool. But I have to tell you, posture matters because you put yourself in these situations that add stress to areas of the body that we don't need added stress on. So I want you to picture this. You pretend your head is a helium balloon. And it's going to lift you towards the ceiling. The back of your neck gets quite long. Your chin does not go up. The back of the neck gets long. Think about the bones in your spine. I want you to create and pretend there's space in between each one. Okay, so you're being lifted up toward the ceiling. You're not forcing that with muscle. You're actually just allowing your body to lift you. Your head lifts you towards the ceiling. Now, the next thing is you find your rib cage. Try to make sure that the bottom of your rib cage, all the way around, is it like a circle, that it's directly above the circle that's created by your hips underneath you. So you've now created this nice stacked situation where your hip bones are in line with your rib cage, which is in line with your head, and everything takes you up towards the ceiling. If you were standing and your feet are separated shoulder width distance apart, you have like a plumb line that hits right down in between those feet. This is where we want to be. Can we always be there? Can we maintain it forever? No, we can't. And that's okay. But if you remind yourself to do it 5 times a day, once a day right now, and it starts to move more and more and more, we're going to be in a better position more often. If you ever have pain in your shoulder and you bring your head forward and then you lift your shoulders up, it's going to feel worse. Whereas if you bring your head back and you do the same motion where you lift your shoulders up, you're going to have less pain in the shoulder. It's just the way that the muscles kind of move or are affected rather. So again, posture to me matters. I don't need you to have perfect posture all the time because that's not life. But I want you to remind yourself of it every once in a while to take yourself into that situation where your muscles can relax a little bit and you can maintain that for a couple of breaths and then continue on with what you're doing. So those are my big like areas.
Can you see that I'm sitting taller now?
I can
now?
See it. It's beautiful. You just got like literally 4 inches taller.
I know. Hey, and I'm short. I need every inch.
I know. That's what I said.
I like the head in the helium balloon.
Yes. It helps to have like an idea. Cause it's because again, I don't want to like force it up and all my muscles are working really hard. It's really just a float. It's a different idea. Another idea is if you think back to like grandma's way back in the day where they say, put an apple on your head, put a book on your head, do that. Yeah. Pretend you have that thing. Book. It's the same idea where you're creating that length in the back of the neck, which sets you up. So my kids are going to hate me because as they get older, I'm like, nope, sit up.
So. Yeah. And you know, but it's funny because my mom, who's elderly, you know, walks forward, you know, and I see it and it's more and more as she gets older.
Yeah.
And so I had my husband in our gym. We had just moved into a new place a couple of years ago and we hadn't quite got the mirror up in the gym. And I said, I need a mirror in there. So when I'm lifting, I can see when I'm starting to do that thing because it is family tendencies physically sometimes. Totally. You know, so I'm constantly going, pull your shoulders back because it's amazing how much I lean forward. So,
yes. Well, that's because what you're doing all day long. Well, most of the right, we're sitting at a computer and we everything's in front of us and a little bit lower. And so it's hard. Yeah. One more thing that I'll actually say And I've been in fitness for a really long time. And I would, there are some cues that we've learned in fit, that we learned in fitness years ago that have really damaging effects over time. Two of them I'll give you. One,
what is
instead of thinking shoulders back, I want you to think shoulders wide. So you're creating space as opposed to squeezing those shoulder blades together. Because squeezing your shoulder blades together does not allow the rib cage to be where we want it to be. So think wide, again, not back. That's number one. And number two, do not, it's cool when you're doing an exercise to contract your glutes, your butt muscles. That's great. Because if you're doing like, let's say a squat or you're doing a lunge, you want those muscles to work. You want to think about them working. But do not squeeze your glutes as tight as you can and push your hips forward. Okay. Like even ending a squat or a deadlift or anything like that, you want to just go through the range that feels right and normal and do not push your hips forward with a big glute squeeze. Squeeze the glute, but with the hips nice and even, because what happens if you want to think about the bone of the leg and the hip bone that comes, that it kind of intersects with, basically that top of the leg bone drives right into the hip bone when you push those hips forward with that glute squeeze. Okay. That's something that I want you to think about. So you don't need to grip and squeeze those glutes, and we don't need to squeeze our shoulder blades back. Be tall by being wide and long through the neck. That's where you're going to get the posture that we want to be in, instead of driving injury, which can happen in exercise as well.
Okay. Great. Great tips. I love that. That's going to be a highlight reel, I believe.
I love it.
All of it's all very, very good. Thank you. I love your focus and you're passionate about it. Let's talk a little bit about you and your career. I'm curious how you got into this and, you know, who's influenced you most in your career and life.
Okay. Well, I think that it's easy to say the most influence probably has come from both my parents. My mom is actually became a massage therapist. And when I originally started working in industrial settings, the only information I had was like, let's stretch some people. And I'm like, okay, well, I can do that. But then someone came to me and said, my knee's bothering me. I'm like, oh, how do you stretch a knee? You know, it got me like, oh. And I started talking with my mom about it. And she was like, you might want to look into this. And she gave me some ideas that there was a different way of dealing with it. And it was through touch and manual therapy. And that just sent me down my track. And then I got into massage therapy. So there was that. And then my dad, he was always a salesman. He passed away a number of years ago, but he was always a salesman and worked with companies. But he always said, Kelly, work for yourself, work for yourself, work for yourself. And I was like, okay, whatever. And lo and behold, like I saw no other option after working for other companies for a while. I'm like, I got to do this on my own. And so I would say those two people probably have made the biggest effect in my life and career, certainly.
Yeah, that's awesome. But great influence.
Oh, absolutely.
And then how did you fall into working in the industrial and construction? And it sounds like maybe massage therapy came along the way, but how did you end up being in companies doing this? Because that's a little unusual.
It is. And it is, it's about like a little over 20 years ago. I was just out of grad school and I was looking for something, and a lot of corporate wellness things came up, and I was like, this is great. I'm super glad everyone's doing this, but I don't know if I just want to be in a gym setting all the time, because I like being in the gym for myself, but I didn't know if I wanted to be in it all the time. And so I had an opportunity to work with a chiropractor, and he did work with industrial companies. And so it started there. And that's where the idea of the stretching came in. But he was delivering chiropractic care, and that was not my world, nor was it going to be, because I already went to school a while. I didn't want to go back for more. And so I was like, then after the conversation with my mom and I started looking into it, I'm like, okay, I can do massage and I can get that licensing pretty quickly, all things considered, and relatively not as expensive as chiropractic or physical therapy. And so I went, that's where that kind of came into play. And then getting involved with companies, it was just through like basically word of mouth and like having conversations with individuals and being lucky enough to just meet people and I guess having the right conversations. And I think, and I'll be honest with you, like it's usually pretty clear, like I'm super passionate about what I do. And so I think people read that and they understand that what my intentions are. So yeah, that I think helps clear. A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm clear. I can feel and see that in you. So that's a wonderful gift. Do y'all work all over the country or just one part of the country? Tell me a little bit about that. And how big is your team?
Yeah. So we're based out of Austin, Texas right now. So we work Austin, San Antonio, and we are also in the Bay Area at the moment with looking to expand to like San Diego area as well. Right now we have a team of four. So it's a small team, but we're also in short order going to be start delivering some other things. So not just our hands-on, we call it like our flagship service, because it's for bigger companies. It's for people that have the money to spend on that, because they're looking to really reduce a high injury like cost, right? So there's that. I've had so many questions from so many individuals from smaller or medium-sized companies that just, it's not possible to do. And so what we've created is an app, which allows the individual to take part in a group warm-up, even if they have a group of six. And so they'll get a morning warm-up and an afternoon warm-up. And then throughout the day, they'll get movement break. They'll get little pings for movement breaks. And those movement breaks are their option and idea for their individual sessions. So for example, again, I woke up with a sore neck. It feels like kind of achy and it's been going on for this many days. And my job is very active. Like, you'll put in this information and then it'll populate
you. Put in your criteria and then
yes,
it helps a plan. How smart is that?
Yeah. So because all I kept thinking to myself is like, the whole time I've ever done this is how can we reach more people with this information? And gosh, I mean, obviously technology is what it is. And now you can reach so many more. My biggest problem has always been, I don't want it to be a totally canned situation where you just give everyone the same thing all the time. Now, it's not going to be super like, I would love it to be like, take everything into account, right? I didn't sleep last night, all this stuff, but it's going to be very specific to what's happening with your body right now. So that's what makes me excited, is like, we can deliver this to, gosh, almost anyone. It is going to be geared toward the industrial setting, but I mean, I speak to nurses, doctors, hygienists, all individuals that are doing a lot of things as well that are manual in different ways or static positions, and they could use it too. Sitting at a desk, you could use it too. So it's like, we're delivering it towards the industrial, but I see where it's can go in other industries as well. Correct. Yeah.
Or could be used. So when is that available?
That's going to be inside of 6 months.
Okay.
That's we've got. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's interesting. That's very smart. Yeah. It's a logical progression. You're a wonderful entrepreneur, it sounds like.
Thanks. I have the help. I will say another person is my husband. He has always been a small business consultant and he became mine. And the team effort has made it, because I can really focus in on the actual work being delivered and making sure that the relationships are continuing, and all my crazy ideas, actually he can do something with it.
Yeah.
Whereas I couldn't, awesome. You know, so yeah, it's pretty
you're
wonderful.
Running the business.
Exactly. Yeah.
And probably hands-on as well.
Well, absolutely.
So talk a little bit about what you do, because you do have a physical job and you are an entrepreneur and running your business and your team. Talk about the things that you do. You know, we're Wake Up Eager Workforce is the name of our podcast, right? So Wake Up Eager People. What do you do, mind, body, and spirit? What are some of your top tips right now in product ideas or things that you're doing that help you wake up eager?
Okay, so I'll start with body. Movement is my stress relief. Not everyone has that in them. I wish they did, but they don't. So I've got to move to feel good. So it doesn't matter if it's I'm picking up a kettlebell, I'm using my kids as a weight, I'm going for a walk, I'm going for a run, you name it, whatever I can do in a day, take the stairs, 43 flights, I don't care. Just give me an opportunity to move and I will just generally feel better. So body is, that's where that one's taken care of. Also, I like to focus on recovery as well. So if I can get some sort of body work every month and a half or so, if everything's feeling great, that's kind of where I live with that.
What kind of body work? Is it massage?
Massage.
I'm big into the chiropractor nowadays. I don't go to massage as much anymore. I don't feel like I need it, but is there anything else you do?
Yeah, I would do anything and everything. If I have a chance to try something, I'm going to, because I just think it's amazing. And if I had more time, I would just do all of it all the time, because I just think there's so many benefits to it. But I find like any sort of massage, whether it be like deep tissue work or lymphatic work, things like that, chiropractic is great. I've worked with a couple in my life who I really like, but they end up doing a lot more manual therapy than just straight adjustments all the time. So I found that's kind of my body likes and responds with. So that's that. But I think that, gosh, I always say this, if something works for you, do it. If you're afraid of it, maybe ask yourself why and find a practitioner if you're really interested in it. Because I hear that about chiropractic a lot. I'm afraid. Don't be afraid. Just find the right person. You know, get some referrals from actual people that you trust. Because, you know,
they are different.
Yeah,
I have and a even great a, chiropractor even, now.
Gosh. And when you do, you never want to leave them. Don't leave. Don't Don't move. Don't do anything. Just, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he gets right to it. It seems like he's like intuitive. You know, like I'll say like, yeah, it's a little funny right here.
Don't even say it, right?
Yeah, he gets it mm-hmm. right there. That's great.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, so I would say those two things for body are important.
That's awesome. What about mind and spirit?
So spirit is, to me, I have three little boys between the ages of 1.5 and 6. And so I am not somebody who like, I need other social interaction, like going out and doing that thing. I just need time with them. And sometimes it's crazy, but I just like, you get so much from them. And like, I get so much of like a breath when I'm at work too. So I go to work and I'm like, breathe. And then I come home and I get all the hugs and the craziness, but it's like, that's what I need in my world too. It brings me great joy for that. And when we can be together, that's where I get all the spirit for sure. For sure. And then for my mind, I would say as much as I can, staying interested or involved in research and finding out what's happening in the world. But a lot of my stuff lately has been, how do I get the best content out now? So it's changed a bit in the last, like I would say like 2 years even, whereas before I was like, I'm never going to do social. We're not going to do any of that because that's just waste of time. Well, I'm realizing, gosh, people are finding everything from like social media, from Instagram, LinkedIn, all of these things. So why not be putting this stuff out there? And also creating content for companies for onboarding employees too. So I'm like, I'm doing a lot of research into how do we do this the best way? And we're going to do that by the end of February. So my focus has really been on like making sure I get as much information there as possible. So a lot of learning there.
Yeah. What about the onboarding? What are you doing? We focus on onboarding in regard to the tools that we use, and we give managers an insight into the employee and set up an agenda with the manager and the employee to get to know each other through the assessment tool. So the employee can speak to the tool and say, well, this is what it said about me, and this is how I like to work. So they're creating that connection that would take 6 to 8 months. What would your service be around onboarding?
That's wonderful. What you're saying is so, so important. Oh my gosh. So needed. What ours is, when you go onto a job site, you have basically have been hired. You've gone through all of the things to be good to go. And then you need to go and sit basically, unfortunately, in front of a computer for like 7 or 8 hours a day for like at least one day. And you have to go through all of the regulations on a job site, all of the safety things you need to know and all of these things. And so we've looked at all of this, and there's a missing component of, you guessed it, movement in the body. So they talk about how to be safe, and they say, make sure that when you lift, you're lifting in your safe zone. Well, okay, that's a very little area. If you've ever seen the box of the guy holding the box and he's like, it's right here. And don't lift out here in front of you, and don't lift to the side. Well, what we know is that people are going to do the job they need to do, and they are going to trust that their body's going to be able to do it. So what we're trying to do with this onboarding content, the certification program, is that the first time that they get onto a job site is they know what a soft tissue injury is and what they as an individual can do to prevent the injury, right? So they know now, they've been given either a few, it's basically some movements that they can do, but then also some ideas from the idea of alignment being important, right? And posture, to the idea of like what your inputs are, make a difference in your outputs. We don't want the first time, if you're hopefully lucky enough to have Provention on your job, we don't want the first time you've ever heard these ideas to come from your first one-on-one session with a Provention Plus team member. We want you to say, oh yeah, I remember hearing that. Or yeah, I did this one exercise and it's been really helping me, and now I want to move on to the next one. So yeah, that's a certification program. So because it's just a missing link. We do so much in oil and gas, in construction, in logistics, like to get these employees safe, understanding all of the procedures that need to be done. We're not looking to add more content just for content's sake. Where our focus is like, how can we get some information to these individuals that's going to be personally also helpful, like personally to their body and their behaviors. So that's where it kind of came up with. It's like soft tissue injuries 101, basically.
Right. Okay. So wanting to build that into the safety culture, because there is a safety culture. I think about my husband's company and they have a safety culture, and it's like that needs to be part of it, mm-hmm. because soft tissue issues are the biggest problem based on what I have learned from you today, it seems like.
Certainly one of the biggest.
Yeah. And the myth is that you can't prevent them. And you're like, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yeah. That makes sense to put that in onboarding. That's smart.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Yay. It was good. Good work. So you mentioned that you had listened to some of our podcasts and you had a favorite one. Tell us what that was or is and why it was your favorite.
Well, I was looking through everything and listening to some of them. I was most interested. It was Mike Shanahan. He did, basically he was talking about how people are sober curious. And and listening to you guys talk about that was so interesting because I have so many conversations with individuals on a day-to-day basis about alcohol and like how it makes you feel the next day. I've had conversations with friends over the years of like, oh, I just have a glass of wine every night. It's not a big deal. I've had conversations with functional medicine doctors who tell me it takes 7 days to just get the alcohol out of your system from one, you know, like one glass of wine, like something like that. And so, and it's something where wine is just has been like a part of like, it's just a part of life, right? For, I always find it, especially for women. And then you add that like the mom thing, the wine mom thing. And I'm like, it's kind of funny, but it's not funny at the same time, because I recognize that there's not a positive, you're not necessarily getting the positive things you think you're getting out of it. And that was what I took from it mostly was like, well, why are you going for that glass of wine? So you get home and you had a good fine day. Your kids are there. Everything's going well. You're making dinner. All is well. And then someone goes nuts. That's just my house. It goes, and you're just like, wah! Everyone freaks out. And then it's like, oh gosh, I could really use a glass of wine. I would think that, you know, well, why? And so I found it like to really almost accountability. Like, well, why? Okay. To have a glass of water, take a breath and continue on and see if you still quote unquote need that glass of wine. And you don't. So it was really interesting to hear you guys speak about it and hold myself a little more accountable to, again, why am I making this choice right now? You know?
Yeah.
So that was fun. That was cool for me.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It brings up conversation, even more conversation with other individuals, asking those same questions and saying, hey, what do you think about that? Maybe you could ask yourself that question the next time you reach for whatever.
What I think is interesting. So I have high school friends that I've graduated a long time ago. We still get together.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Every year. We'll get together this year. We were just texting about. If you get with anybody and you start talking to them one-on-one, almost everybody is questioning their relationship with alcohol in some way, shape, or form. Almost everybody. And so it's like this thing that's not talked about. It's like, is my relationship okay? Or am I doing this too much? Or kind of, you know. And so that was why I wanted to have him on. And that book is real interesting, This Naked Mind.
Yeah.
Put a link in the show notes. But it was eye-opening to me. And so it is that conversation. You see it because you're talking to people about their bodies too, probably.
Yeah.
It's a piece of it.
And there's not the recognition that, you know, well, I feel fine, right? Sure. You feel fine, but maybe fine could be better. I think that's where I go to it with it too. And maybe it's like, maybe you don't need the alcohol. Maybe you also don't need the soda. Like, how can we make shifts and changes? And is there a way to just play with this a little bit? Maybe don't drink during the week if you're going to then, you know, practice this, try this out, you know, give it a chance in real life and see how you feel when you're not drinking or when you're not drinking soda or whatever else.
And like you said, one thing at a time, but
100%.
But the other piece is how can I be prepared for my job the next day? You know, because I'm an athlete and I need to be ready to perform. You know, what is it that contributes? And it's a little bit at a time. I tell you, I didn't want to hear about sober curious until I was ready to hear about it. You know, and then I'm like, huh, this is really interesting. So we all have our own timing on it. So, but I'm glad you listened to that. I appreciate you tuning in and being here today. What advice would you give your younger self?
Have more confidence. I mean, I missed opportunities, I believe, because I wasn't confident enough that I could come to the table with the information that I had. And though I've learned obviously a lot in the last 20 years, and I wouldn't do things exactly the same in terms of the way I worked, but one thing I do know is that I was so afraid of being looked at as unintelligent. Oh, I was so fearful of that. And in a male-dominated situation most of the time, and being 20 years younger, the ability for people to sometimes take me seriously. Of course, also I'm a caregiver. I'm trying to present caregiving situations, and this is all like I'm a hard, you know, construction worker. I don't need to hear about this stuff. But still, I would say power through that. Be a little bit more confident in yourself, and try more things. I was afraid of hearing no, and I was afraid of being thought to not be smart. So those two things, and lastly, be as prepared as possible for every situation. Like I just, there were some business situations where I know now I had better answers
Yeah. Yeah.
Be a little more prepared.
Well, yeah. Well, you exude confidence and
I've worked on it over 20 years.
Yeah, I know. Your work has prepared you for that. It is interesting to go into, a male dominated field. Way back when I worked at State Farm Insurance and I was in human resources, but before you could get into human resources, you had to do one of the roles. And I was a fire claims representative, which means I had to pick up a ladder, climb a bunch of roofs, talk to a bunch of roofers, it was it was probably one of my best jobs. I was just doing it so I could move into what my field is with human resources. I actually loved it, but it was, mostly the guys were doing that. Not exactly what you were doing at all, but the guy thing is familiar. And I was, it was 25 years younger than I am today or younger than that even. And it grows your confidence if you can survive that and bicker with a roofer on top of a roof of a house about whether you're going to pay for it or not.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. I'll tell you what. Gotta have the right answers there.
Yeah. You exude confidence and grace today. So kudos to you. That's wonderful. So if you could put a billboard for the world to see, put it anywhere, where would you put it and what would it say?
It's a little silly, but basically from space, can everyone see it? Basically from space, move it or lose it. It's such a, but it's so true because in this thinking about this, and I'll just say one thing on it because I see it. If someone starts to not feel good in a certain joint, they almost always limit the movement. And sometimes it may be the answer, but oftentimes it's not. And so the question is, can you figure out a way to find that range of motion without too much discomfort and or get the physical therapy you need or get whatever you need to start to move it? Because what ends up happening is, let's just say this, you go to get your cup of coffee in the morning and it hurts a little bit. Well, then you start using your opposite side. And then all of a sudden, 3 months later, you can't raise your arm up to get that cup from up above you because you haven't moved it because you're afraid. You're like, oh, I'm not going to move it because I know it's going to hurt. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. And so you lose it. Also, on that same note, think about how low your body gets in a day, meaning how far do you sit down? Usually we have high beds, we have high chairs, we have high couches. We don't get very low. I say get and touch the ground every single day, a couple times a day if you can. Get on the ground, lay on the ground, sit on the ground. Make sure you bend your knees more than 90 degrees. Make sure you bend your hips more than 90 degrees. Round your back, straighten your back, do all those things that it can do. Because if you don't move your body in all the ways that it can move, you will lose the option for it.
That is great advice. I'm dealing with elderly parents. So
that's it.
And
that's
you see, you see the future if you didn't do some things.
And just start to look at your mom you were mentioning, start to look at how limited her movement is. And why she's hunched forward. But how long has she been doing that? It doesn't happen overnight. It starts 20 years at least before that. And I'd say at least. So again, it's not even our fault though, too. Because once we get into of that certain age, whatever you want to say that starts at for each individual, but we're like, I'm retired. I don't need to move. I don't want to move. I don't like to move. So find something you like and or force it by sitting on the ground, getting back up, reaching up tall. We have personal responsibility here. It is nice to have insight from others and help from others, but just remember, we take better care of our cars than we do our bodies often. And so let's not do that. We only have one. Yes, we can get a new shoulder here and there, but you really want to go through that pain if you don't have to? I don't want to. I don't want to get a replacement unless I 100% absolutely need it. So try to take care of the body you've been given. Keep the options open.
Why does that happen? Better care of our cars than our bodies. What happens?
Why do people do it? You mean?
Yeah. It's a big trend.
Yeah. Think about it. Well, think about it. Cause everyone always don't forget to change your oil. Don't forget to change your oil. Don't forget to change your oil. They say that, right? They don't say, don't forget to move. Don't forget to move. Don't forget that. No, no one's standing over you saying, make sure you do that. I think that they used to talk about movement and posture a lot more. I have a book actually back here, which is kind of interesting. I can't remember the year it is, but it's such an old book and it's all about physical wellness. And it talks about posture and it talks about the movement you do. And I was obsessed. I'm obsessed with it. I think it's amazing because we used to talk about this. And now look at our kids. They're carrying backpacks that are too heavy and they're on screens all day long. They look like a C. They look like their back is a C and with their head coming up. And then we're creating extra bone in the back of our neck because of the friction that is caused. And you can see it in x-rays, that new bone, not new bones, but bony growths are occurring on the edges of the vertebrae because of that constant friction in this position as opposed to being where they're supposed to be. whoa, we're changing structure based on what we're doing. It's crazy.
Okay, my head's in a helium balloon.
Just a couple times a day, at least. A
couple times a day. No, a little bit more because I do want to. Yeah, that is so true. It doesn't get talked about. It doesn't get talked about. It's not anybody's fault.
No.
It's just, you know, you're a health nut. It's just not even part of the equation.
And look, you can get out of PE in school just by sneezing. Like, I'm good. I'm not going to do it. Okay, fine. You don't have to. We've lost an opportunity with, it's some really great schools. They have physical education that teaches to movement and what your future holds for you and how you can move better in life. But in a lot of physical education, it's just here's this sport, here's that sport, here's this sport. And if you're not an athletic kid, well, good luck. That's going to stink. You're going to hate it. You're going to try not to go and you're going to try not to move. So if we put a little more focus and energy towards that as well, that's a whole nother, get me talking about this, a whole nother ball of wax, but we could start reaching out to those kids, the kids as well about it.
Yes. Yes. It starts young. You are a beacon for posture and movement.
I hope so. I'm not trying not to just say it. I'm trying, like, I know my kids, they do what I do, right? I could say something opposite all day long, but I have seen it with my own eyes. You could say it till you're blue in the face, but if you don't do it, they're not doing it.
Yeah. Words don't teach. Life experience teaches.
Exactly. Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. So as we come to a close of this wonderful discussion about posture and movement and well-being and all the good work that you're doing, do you have any additional advice or wisdom or to restate some things we've talked about that you want people to remember about safety and culture and wellness?
Be open to things that maybe even seem a little bit disconnected maybe at first. Be open to what you can do for yourself. I guess maybe how those things can affect all of those people around you. This goes out to the very busy superintendent, to the very busy mom, to the very busy executive. You taking care of yourself and taking those moments to be physically well will make a difference in all of those around you. Making that choice to not have that martini, not have that beer, maybe not have that soda, maybe not have that fast food meal and making it a different choice, or getting to the gym. Maybe it's not getting to the gym again. Maybe it's doing squats in your living room or laying on the ground and doing some yoga stretches, whatever it is. Those things are going to have a greater effect on yourself, but then also those around you, because there are people watching you. So you're going to make a, yes, have a big effect on that. So that's, I guess that would be my takeaway.
You're going to be our PE teacher, yeah, that we didn't have when we were,
exactly,
growing up, or who we said we didn't feel well and didn't go to PE.
Exactly. I'll put my sweatpants on. I'll do it.
Okay. That's cool. That's very cool. Well, thank you so much for being here. I love what you're doing and can't wait to hear more about your app, and keep us posted on that.
I will do. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Who knew that soft tissue injuries were so expensive and costly? And it makes so much sense. Carpal tunnel, tendonitis, back pain. So many people live with it. Well, it really is something that gets worse, and it builds on itself and getting worse. You know, 1% a day, and in 70 days, we're twice improved. Well, 1% a day, and in 70 days, if we're going in the opposite direction, we're twice feeling worse. So I love that they're providing this service. I'm really eager about the app that they're creating. And, you know, my husband is an executive in construction company, and I have numerous construction company clients. And so I know this will be helpful to them. And just all of us, we can pay attention to this and think and feel like a professional, or like a pro. You know, we are pros in our work. We are getting paid to perform, whether it's physical or not. We physically have to show up, and we can't give our best if we're not sleeping well. We don't feel good in our body. So I think that's a good lesson and inspiration from this as well. I told you that I loved one of her tips. It's the one that's really been helping me, is my head being lightly held by a helium balloon. You know, the posture tips that she gave, that has really helped me when I'm working out, when I'm on my, I do a lot of Peloton, and, you know, you lean forward in that. So I'm trying to counterbalance that. And of course, we're on our computers, and I'm on social media, and my iPad and my Kindle, and, you know, all of us are doing all of that. So head being held lightly by a helium balloon, just as I'm saying that, I'm seeing myself straighten up. So anyway, that was excellent. I love the idea of the group warm-ups on the job sites. And I know that different companies have also done that when they aren't necessarily as physical as maybe on a construction site or an industrial setting, but where they would do a group warm-up where they just come together and read the company mission, give each other encouragement, do a stand-up meeting where everybody goes around the room and shares something, you know, very quick. That could be a warm-up, too, in regard to connection, and maybe a little stretching could be thrown in there, too. It'd just be a nice way to start every day. So something to think about. And the other thing that I really enjoyed, as I'm so enjoying, and I hope you're getting benefit from it, too, the Wake Up Eager Strengths segment, you know, her top motivators, Kelly's top motivators, utilitarian and theoretical. Okay, so utilitarian, she's very running a business, you know, with a family and has an app idea. And so that's that very utilitarian, is that very much moving forward with business ideas, putting the time and the effort in to create something. And then she's always learning. Of course, she's got a master's degree, so she's always learning. So the theoretical was her second. And then her least driver was traditional regulatory. So she likes to think outside of the box as opposed to, you know, someone who likes to follow the regulations. It doesn't mean she doesn't, but she's always got new ideas like the app and other ways to help people. And she's leading edge thinker. You know, usually utilitarian and theoretical together are futuristic thinkers. So she thought, you know, 20 years ago, she was doing this in companies, and it's now becoming more and more accepted. So good for her, and good to know that new ideas like this to help people feel better in their body. We just have to pay attention to that. That is, we bring ourselves to everywhere we go. And as she said, being physically well makes a difference. So we've got links to some of our thoughts on mind, body, spirit. Feel free to check the show notes at pricelessprofessional.com/jobsiteathlete. You can also get a link to Kelly's contact information on LinkedIn and all the show notes and a written transcript for everything we talked about. So feel free to reach out to us with any comments. You can go to speakpipe.com/wakeupeagerworkforce if you have an idea or you want to comment on an episode or you want to leave us a verbal review. I'll share that review on a future podcast or any comments. You can also leave us a review on Apple, iTunes. Go, and you know, if you're not sure how to do that, go to pricelessprofessional.com/review. We still have that giveaway where we're giving away a workplace motivators assessment. You'll get access to the videos that debrief it. You'll get your report right away. If you leave us a review, we'll send you a link to take the assessment. It's a cool way to, for you to see, oh, wonder what my top drivers are, what motivates me and causes me to want to take action, what puts gas in my tank according to that assessment. I guarantee you, you'll find it useful, or maybe give it to a family member or friend. So we'd love it if you're getting something from the show to leave us a review. Go to pricelessprofessional.com/review for steps on how to do that. If you already know how to do it, just go to iTunes and then let me know that you did. And if you have any questions or if I can help you in any way, reach out to me, Susie@pricelessprofessional.com. Thanks for tuning in. Go forth and create your Wake Up Eager life. And we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you.
This episode of the Wake Up Eager Workforce Podcast was brought to you by Priceless Professional Development. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to pricelessprofessional.com to gain access to more professional development resources.